on there.
Okay. Just one note. Wanted to apologize for yesterday's daf. It was a little shorter because we had some technical difficulties and we got started late. Okay. Today's daf Chaf Aleph. We're still on Chaf Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Chavi Khan, L'ili Nishmas Avrumi's father Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen, and it's also sponsored anonymously for Refuah Shleima for Tov Yishmuel ben Chanasara. Okay. So the Gemara says in the bottom. We had just been discussing, we ended off yesterday with the memra about the sun, about the noise of the sun and the noise of the streets of Rome. We said over the Afike Yam. So now the Gemara just has a few more lines about this Agadata. Tana Rabbanon, Shalosh Kolos, Holchin Misof Ha'olam V'ad Sofo. There are three voices, there are three sounds that span the entire world. V'Elohein, and these are them. Kol Gilgal Hachama, the sound of the turning of the sun, the call Hamona Shalromi, and the sound of the people in the streets of Rome, which could fit into what we said yesterday, the call Neshama Bisha'a Sheyatzim in Haguf, and the sound of the Neshama as it leaves the body. Why would that be something that would be heard from across the whole world? So I think it's the Maharal. He says because the soul, when the soul doesn't want to be in the guf, it doesn't want to be there. It wants to because then it's bound and then it has a gavul, has a boundary. It's bound by the body. It doesn't want to be there. Certainly doesn't want to be in all the gashmias. So when it's free, it's able to now go back and be across the whole entire world. And that the kol hei doesn't necessarily mean voice. He says it means koach. It means a poel. It means an opportunity, really. So the opportunity now exists for the neshama to soar, to be across the whole world. That's what it really is referring to. V'yesh omrim, others say, af leida, also birth. Same idea, because it's the potential. It's the coming together of the guf and the neshama. That's the exact opposite koach. Now the koach is of the person. The koach of the person now is to take the guf and the neshama and do with it whatever he chooses. The Yesh Omrim and others say Af Ridya, also rain. Rashi says that the word Ridya is a reference to the Malach that is in charge of rain. That Malach is called Ridya because in Aramaic, Ridya is the same, it's synonymous with the word ox. And the angel in charge of the rain has some kind of shape like an ox. Again, the power of rain is the power of life, and that's something that has the potential. Here the word, the Maharal explains the word kol means, doesn't necessarily mean voice, it means potential. And that potential, even if it's only raining in one spot in the world, but the potential is across the entire world. Ubor Rabbanan Rachmi Agashma Anashama Vishashi Yotzim in Haguf Ubat Luha. The Rabbanan prayed that the sound that's made at the time that the Neshama leaves the body should be taken away. And ubatla, and it was granted. And that sound is no longer heard. When someone passes away, there's no sound that's heard. There's no sound that's heard. And continuing with the Maharal, he says that what they were davening for was that it shouldn't be something that the neshama should really want, and it should be something that's more, it shouldn't have such a negative effect on the person, that the neshama is now free, and it was all granted. Okay. Tanya kavase dirav shela. So yesterday we said that there was a machlokas between Rav and Rav Shela, what the word gever meant. And Rav said it meant the person, and that led us off on this tangent. Now we're back. Now the Gemara says Rav Shela said it meant a rooster. How do you know it meant a rooster? Tanya Kavasa Rav Shela. If a brayso that supports Rav Shela, that it was a rooster. Well, how do you know? Because it says, Ayotzi l'derech, if somebody's traveling, Rashi had a gear for you traveling alone. Traveling by yourself, you're alone. Kodim kriyas hagever. It's late at night, it's before the time of the calling of the Gever, whatever that means. Domo Burosho. Your blood is on your own head. Rashi says, if something happens to you, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. Rashi says, like you're committing suicide. You're going out alone at night? Before dawn? Middle of the night? Rashi says, mazikin around. It's dangerous. Don't be so foolish. Before the calling of the Gever, that's what you're doing? Domo Burosho. Anything happens to you, you have no one to blame but yourself. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Ad Sheyishneh. No, it has to be that the before the call of the Gever twice. Meaning, even if the Gever called once, it's still dangerous. The Yesh Omer Ad Sheyishneh. It has to be a third time. Either way, if you go out at night before it's dawn, at the end of the night by yourself, it's your own fault. Ube'ezit tarnagol amru, and with what kind of rooster are we talking about? Tarnagol benini, a normal one, not one that's exceedingly early, not one that's a normal regular one. So what do you see? You see black and white. That the word gever means a rooster. Maybe it means in this context. Maybe it means. So I saw someone said that the calling of the rooster was a little earlier. So it's a little earlier. The rooster crows before they would announce in the basic fixture time to get up. A few minutes, right? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, b'shah she Yisrael olin l'regel. So now that we discussed. This whole issue, and the Mishnah mentioned that they used to go in the base of Hamikdash, they used to be there so early in the morning. The Gemara is going to go off on a tangent now and discuss that one point about the Bnei Yisrael being there so early in the morning, which leads to the issue of how crowded it was. That even before the Gever even started, there was already packed in the Azara, which is going to lead to the 10 Nisim that were always constant in the base of Hamikdash. That's how we're going to get to that. So that's where it starts. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, b'shah she Yisrael olin l'regel. At the time that Bnei Yisrael would be olin l'regel, omdim tzifufim, they would be standing, it would be very crowded. Very crowded. Rashi says it was so crowded that you could even lift your feet off the ground, you wouldn't even fall. It's jam-packed. Ooh, mishtachavim revachim. When they would bow down with ease. The nimshachim achas asrei ama achorei beis hakaporas. It was so crowded that they would even, the article has a picture of this, the Bnei Yisrael were only allowed into the Ezras Nashim, and the Ezras Nashim is not called the Ezras Nashim because women were allowed in there. Also women were allowed in there, that's what it means. Also women were allowed in there. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the women really were on the balcony of that area. That huge area called the Azara, it's called the Ezras Nashim, it's referred to as the Azara, that was really in the balcony. The balcony was where the women went, the men were downstairs, in the main floor. After that, there was called the Ezras Yisrael, which was 11 amos long, 11 amos deep, very, 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 very small space. It spanned from the north to the south of the Beis HaMikdash, 135 amos, but it was 11 by 135. Not that big. Beyond that, Yisrael were not allowed to go. They were not allowed to go where the Mizbeach was, where those rings and those tables, they were not allowed to go there. They were only allowed to go up to that point, up to the Shar Nicanor. That's where they were allowed to go. Past that, 11 amos past that. I don't know if it's before or after. Anyway, on the extreme north and the extreme south of the Har HaBayis was considered outside the area of the Azara, and they were allowed to go there as well, even to fill up the space behind the Kodesh Kedashim. They could fill up all that space. So on Yontif, it got so crowded that they were allowed to go even beyond the higher, even beyond the Kodesh Kedashim. Can you get a Rambam Zion with one star? Zion with one star. They were allowed to go. That's where they were allowed to go. So the Gemara says, "My Ka'amar." Like what are you telling me that for? Of course, that's a given. So the Gemara says, "Nahaki Ka'amar." This is what it means. Afal pi shenim shachin achas asrei ama achor beis hakapores. Even though they filled up so much space that they were even behind the Kodesh Kedashim, in those 11 amos, that's where they stood. For omdim tzufufim, and they were very, very crowded. Kishehem mishtachavim, when they would bow down, mishtachavim revachim, they would bow down with ease. Rashi says they would bow down with ease. You know what that means? That means they would all have to go to that little 11 amah area to face east to bow down in front of the Kodesh, in front of the Kodesh Kedashim, and there was room for that. The race is even so compounded. It was so crowded that they would jam pack throughout the entire area on the sides and behind the Kodesh. When it came time to bow, they were all able to move to the front and bow with ease. That's what the Gemara means to say over here. So now that leads to Ditnan. Asara nisim nasu beis hamikdash. There were 10 miracles that took place during the beis hamikdash. On this Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's slightly different. Well, you see, our list is going to change, but the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos has a list of 10, and the Sefornu says on that Mishnah others say it as well, that this applied to both Beis HaMikdash, first and second. It's there is a controversy about that. Some say that it only applied to the first. But it's a machlokas whether or not it was the first, the second. Some say some would buy both, most would not buy both. But first for sure, and the second is a machlokas. What are the ten miracles? Lohi pila isha mireach basar hektish. A woman never miscarried by smelling the basar that was burning in the Beis HaMikdash. She never had such a taiva, such a craving, that it caused her to miscarry. That never happened. Mistama, that would normally would happen. That would be a normal occurrence. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a miracle. A normal occurrence would be for a woman to have such a desire for that meat. She's not entitled. She's not a koheness. First of all, many kabbalas, only the males are allowed to eat it. Only the male kahanim. And maybe even if there were situations where the whole family, I'm not sure, maybe by shlomans, but either way, she was not a kohen, but she had such a strong desire, she did not miscarry. Number two, the meat of all these karbanos never spoiled. Sometimes it could have been up there for a while, for days. Israel's a very hot place, especially in the summertime. No, the meat, there's no refrigerators. The meat never spoiled. Miracle. Number three, there was never a fly in the part of the Beis HaMikdash where they would do all the butchering that never saw a fly. That's an ace. Number four, the Kohen Gadol never had carry on Yom Kippur. Never happened. It's also an ace. And we said, oh, we took so many precautions. We locked the guy up for 7 days. We didn't give him certain kind of foods. Nevertheless, it's still an ace. What? He didn't sleep all night long for that very reason. Because when you fall asleep, you're prone to that.
Right, so why was the nace?
Well, because the nace, nevertheless, it's still a nace. Some say because the Yetzer Hara is fighting the Yetzer Tov, and the nace is that the Yetzer Tov was able to win out. Next. V'lonimsa psul ba'omer. There was never a psul in the Omer, or ubishteh alechem, or in the shteh alechem, or ubalechem aponim, or in the lechem aponim. The shteh alechem are the two loaves that were brought on Yom Kippur, on Shavuos. The Omer, the reason why this is such a nace is because they had to cut this stuff. For example, the Omer, it was cut Matzah Yontif, and then it was brought the next day, but they only cut the amount that they needed. They didn't, right? We had Nishkal, they would never cut more, and it had to be sifted 13 times. Rashi says it was very, 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 very big procedure. If it would get Tameh or something would happen to this, they couldn't cut more. They wouldn't have more because it had to be cut at night and brought the next day. So it never happened. It was never a problem. Same thing with the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim. It wasn't able to be baked on Yontif. It had to be baked beforehand. Before Yontif, before Shabbos. If there was a problem, they wouldn't have. It never happened. It was a nace. Next, Omdim Tzufufim, they would be standing jam-packed. U'mishtachavim Revachim, and they would be able to bow down nice and comfortable. Next, V'lo Hizik Nachash V'akrav B'Yerushalayim. Nobody ever got damaged from a snake or a scorpion in Yerushalayim. Me'olam, it never happened. No one ever complained about the difficult lack of space in Yerushalayim. No one ever said that. And we always say over here in Shul that it doesn't mean that it wasn't crowded, but it means no one ever complained.
So why is it there?
Huh? Because he put 10 Jews in a room and no one complained. It's a miracle. So the Gemara asks, Pasach b'mikdash v'sayim b'Yerushalayim. You start off with the Beit HaMikdash, but the last two are about Yerushalayim. And no one ever complained of the space and that a snake or a scorpion never worked over there. So that's not a nace about the Beit HaMikdash, that's a broader nace about Yerushalayim. Right? It's a broader nace about Yerushalayim. So the Gemara answer is no, Ikar Tarti Achrinaisa. There's two more HaMikdash that were in the Beit HaMikdash. The Tanya, Me'olam lo kavu geshamim eish al atzeh hamaracha. The rain never put out the fire that was burning on the harabai, on the Beis HaMikdash. The rain never put that out. That's one nace. And number two, v'ashen hamaracha, and the smoke coming up from the pyre, from the fire in the center of the mizbeach, afilu kol ruchav shabol abos ve'umenash shavos bo. Even if all the wind in the world would come and try to blow it, ein mezizah also mimkomo. It wouldn't blow. It wouldn't move. That was a column of smoke. It never moved.
Is that where was the wind was burning? Was it covered with space?
No, it was open. It was open to the sky. The mizbeach was outdoors. We're talking about the Mizbeach HaChitah. The outer Mizbeach was outdoors, didn't have a roof. It was just straight open. And it never moved. The Kala was put, that was an eighth. One of the Nisan. Now we're going to change the list slightly, and then we're going to get to the ten, and then we're going to talk about them. So Vesu Lekka, that's it. Those are the only ones you can come up with. I bought Tanya. Rav Shmaya Bikal Nevo. This person from that city. Shivrei Klicheres. The broken pottery. The broken kalim that were made out of Klicheres. What's going on here? They used to cook all the meat, all the karbanos were cooked in klicheres, because they're much harder to become tamei than metal. So they would purposely use klicheres. However, once they would cook in them, then they had to break them because the juices inside would become noser. Right, a carbon has an X number of days that it's allowed to be eaten. After that, it can't be eaten. If you cook in the pot becomes absorbed with those flavors. And then you can't cook it, you can't use it again. Because if you cook it, I'll use it next week. But it has the flavors from the carbon, that's not allowed to be eaten anymore. They would have to break them. So, and the Gemara says elsewhere in Zvachim that there was a rule based on Psukim, they had to be broken in the Beis HaMikdash. They couldn't take them to the garbage dump. They had to be broken in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do with all this pottery? A lot of broken shards, because a lot of kabanos every day. What do you do with them? Nivla and Bim Kalman. A nace happened, they would get absorbed right where they were. The earth would take it in. And Amar Abaya, Mora, the parts of the birds, Vinotza, and the feathers, Vidishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the clearing off the leftovers of the incense that was burned on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach, that did have a roof, Vidishon HaMenorah, and the leftovers of the menorah that were cleaned out every day, that also, Nivlam Bimkalman, that also was absorbed right where it was. Wherever it was absorbed. So the Gemara answers two more things that were Nisan. So the Gemara answers, you know what? Pesule Tulasa. We mentioned three things that never got puzzled. The Omer, the Shteh HaLechem, and the Lechem upon him. We mentioned three things. So now the Gemara says, Tulasa Habi Chashvinu Bechad. That's really the same Nis. So those three make into one. Now I have two left over. Afike Trey, Afit Trey, Vail Trey. So these two are left over. Which two? The pottery getting absorbed into the ground, and the leftovers of the deshen of the mizbeach and the menorah that also got absorbed. Two more. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Ihachi blu in nami trei havicha shvinu chad. So that should also be counted as one. It's the same nace. The things that you didn't need anymore got absorbed, and therefore chasru luhu ika. So then you should have one left over. If you should have one left over, if that's counted as one, Gemara says, you're right, it is counted as one. Chasviluhu ikka. There was another nace. Which one? The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi. Nace gadol haya naaseh b'lechem upon him. There was a nace that happened with the lechem upon him, which was Saluku kisidro, that it was removed just like it was put there. Meaning, it was removed when it was boiling hot, burning hot. I'm sorry, it was placed there when it was hot. It was just baked. It was piping hot. And it was removed when it was piping hot. The Shenemar, the pasuk in Shmuel about the lechem upon him, l'shum lechem chom b'yom hel kachu. But they would remove when they removed it; it was piping hot, and the Gemara learned out from there that it was piping hot when they removed it, just like when they put it on.
It was baked on Shabbos.
It was baked on Friday. Like we said, it was not baked on Shabbos, and therefore, if it still happened, there would be no lechem upon him for the week, and it would never happen. It was an eighth. It was baked on Friday. What? It's the following Shabbos. It's the following Shabbos. They baked them on Friday, the next day they removed the old, they put on the new, and that stayed for the whole week. It was like 9 days.
Right, so it was baked on Friday.
It was baked on Friday, and the following Shabbos it was still piping hot.
No, but it's still warm up, so
right? Fine. So now we can now we can talk about these ten. So the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he has a sefer called Ruach Chaim. It's a Pirush on Pirkei Avos. He has ten ideas, each idea corresponding to one of the nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, which is relevant to us. And you know, he finds an idea through all of them. Says number one, no woman miscarried because of the smell of the base of the meat. So he says that idea is represent that represents the idea that you do mitzvot and don't worry about danger. Nothing's going to happen to you. You just do what you have to do. You do the right thing. You do God's will. You're going to be protected. That's number one. Number two, the meat never spoiled. So he says that is related to that idea is related to tumah, that there's an impurity in the world that exists. And again, you do your job, you don't worry about these impurities. You stay away from them, you'll be fine. Number three, he says there were never flies in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says that is, if you think of the Kohen Kohen or Kohen Gadol, very, very holy people doing such ordinary, mundane, almost demeaning work. Cleaning out animals, insides, intestines, it's very, very, people don't want to learn about this Gemara with blood. They're turned off. So that's exactly his point. So whenever flies, the fly quotes Pesukim that the flies are represented by the Yetzer Hara. Don't let the Yetzer Hara get you out of doing mitzvot that are not so exciting, that are not so interesting. You do what you have to do. You do the mitzvot. You don't worry about the glory and you don't worry about the honor. Number four, keri. So he says the Kohen never saw keri. He says what's keri? Kohen Gadol never saw keri. He says keri is something that really only you know about. It's something that's very private. And the Musar is, don't publicize, so it never happened. Right? It was never embarrassed. The Kohen was never, it would be very embarrassing had he woken up Yom Kippur morning, or he got up, you know, didn't sleep, but he was around, I became a carry. It's very embarrassing. So the point is, things that you know about other people that are embarrassing, keep them to yourself. Keep them to yourself. Carry is a private issue, no one knows about it. Keep it to yourself. Don't go around publicizing other people's faults. Next, the fire was never put up by the rain, and the smoke never dispersed. He counts this too, but he says it's the same idea. He says, what kind of nace is this? That the fire, the rain never put out the fire. Why shouldn't it be? It never rained. Wouldn't it be much better? It has to rain and the fire can't go out. Make it never rained. That would be a better nace. Never rained, there was never wind. The answer is no. Life is not so easy. There are challenges, there are nisyonos, there are tests. It's going to rain. But the point is, you fight it off. You fight off the fire. Don't let the fire go out, even if it's going to rain on you, even if it's going to be torrents in your life and issues. Don't let the fire go out. You keep on fighting, just like the mizbeach. Next, the omer never found the psul. So he says the omer shtealech al macham panim. That's all bread. That's all parnasa. He said that's parnasa, and that the message is don't have any psul in your parnasa. Keep your parnasa pure. Keep it patira. Keep it with honesty. Don't let there be a psul in your parnasa. Next, they were able to bow with ease, but they stood crowded, but they were able to bow with ease. So he says, if you stand, meaning you're makbid on everything, you always stand, you're always firm, you're always tough, you can have a very crowded kind of life. There's always other people in your way, it's always very difficult. But if you bow, and you let other people have their say, and you're not so standing on principle all the time, and you bow, look at that, you'll find there's a lot of room in your life. A lot of extra room. Next, the snakes. There were never snakes or scorpions in Yerushalayim. So he relates this to the Gemara that snakes don't kill, chait kills. Right? Snake is just a messenger. So he says that when they were there, it never happened. Well, no one ever sinned. People sinned in Yerushalayim too. However, the Gemara there says, the Medrash of Gemara, that nobody ever went to sleep at night without doing tshuva in Yerushalayim. It did sin, it did happen. But no one ever let it last. That's the idea. No one ever got bitten by a snake. No one ever got bitten by the chait because the inspiration of Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, was able to withstand it all. And the last one, he says, no one ever complained about the crowdedness. No one ever said it's too crowded here. He says, if you ask somebody how's business going, he relates it to Parnassa also. How's business going? Oh, there's a lot of competition. If not for the other guy, I'd be doing so much better, right? Because it's competition, I'm stuck. So he says. But that's a wrong attitude because our Rosh Hashanah it's decided what you're going to have regardless of the other guy, right? And the Chavetz Chaim had a grocery store, it's a famous story, and somebody opened up another grocery store down the block. And the Chavetz Chaim was so excited, so they told him, "Why are you excited?" He says, "Listen, I'm going to have the same parnasa no matter what I do. But now there's another guy I could learn more, right?" This is earlier in his life when he had a grocery store. So now there's another now they have competition, so they'll go the people will go to him. I'm going to get the same parnasa no matter what, and I can have more time to learn. So he said the same idea. When these people, no one ever complained it was too crowded. No one ever complained, I have competition, I have issues. No one ever complained. No one ever said it was too crowded in life. And it was too crowded for me to be able to make my parnasa. So he relates these, the 10 miracles, to 10 misconceptions, 10 mussars that we could take with us. Okay, you have a question? Well, it's definitely a high level to reach, but that's what Musar always is, right? It's always a climb, trying to climb up that ladder. That's what it always is. Okay. Fine. So that's what we said. Okay. Fine. So now we're up to again Vesu Leka. That's it. It's only those 10. Ve'ha'amar of Levi. Rav Levi said. We have such a tradition. Makom Aron Eino Min Amida. But the space of the Aron didn't take up any space. Why? The Aron was the room of the Kodesh Gashem was 20 Amos by 20. It was 20 Amos. And the Aron took up at least some space, including the Badim, right? However, the Amr of Benoi, however, Rashi explains that when they measured the space of the Aron, it was 10 Amos to the Aron and 10 Amos to the back. Which means it didn't take up any space. So, isn't that a miracle? It's a nace. So, I didn't see anyone who said this, but I was wondering, but we also have Gemaras and members that say that the Badim stuck out into the Badim stuck out like a woman's breasts. It stuck out like that. First of all, that metaphor just means that that's where the source of nourishment is. That's like a woman, the source of nourishment of a baby is there. So too, the source of our spiritual nourishment was there. So I don't know how that fits. If it didn't take up any space, why did it have to stick out? Maybe that's exactly the point. It didn't take up any space, and yet it still stuck out to drive home the point that that's where the nourishment comes from, the spiritual nourishment. Anyway, similar names. Amar Rav Noi, Amar Shmuel, Kruvim. These are separate Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech built, and he stuck them in the Kodesh Kedashim, nothing to do with the Aron. Separate Kruvim, angels, and Rashi explains they took up at least 20 Amos by themselves, and how could there have been room in there with the Aron? B'neis hayu omdim. There was a neis. How could that be? So the Gemara answers, Nisi dabroi kachashiv. We're only talking about Nisi that people could see. Nisi digavoi lo kachashiv. We're not talking about Nisi that happened in the Kodesh that nobody saw them. No one knew about them. The purpose wasn't to have Nisi that no one knows about. The purpose was to have Nisim. Like we said, there's a message in every Nais. There's a take-home message in every Nais. So that was the point of the Nisim. So the fact that it was in the Kodesh Kodashim is irrelevant. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's true, Lechem Aponim Nami Nisi Digavoyhu. Lechem Aponim, that they never spoiled, that was also an inner Nais. So who ever saw that? Only the Kohen. No one saw that. So the Gemara says, no. Lechem Aponim Nisi Davroyhu. It was an outside Nais too. You know why? The Amar of Rish Lakish says, "My dichsiv." What does it mean when it says in the pasuk, "Al hashulchan hatohar"? It says in the pasuk, "The tohar shulchan." Michlal, that implies shehu tameh, that it can become tameh. Otherwise, why would it say that it's tar? So the Gemara says, "Wait a minute. Kli eitz ha'asui lenachasu, a kli eitz that's made never to move. If it's never going to be made to move." We have a rule that a kli eitz that's made never to move, not makabel tumah. And not only that, v'chotzeitz b'fnei tumah, and it can serve as a partition for tumah. So if you're in a room and there's a mace in the room, the wood could be a partition. But the point is, how could you think that the shulchan could become tameh? It was made out of wood and it was never going to move. Tosa said, "What do you mean it was made out of wood? It was lined with gold. Gold is metal." So Tosfos answers, that's true. That rule that you go by the lining, that could be true. That's a very complicated issue regarding Tfilas Kalim. However, let's say you have a Kalim that's made out of wood and it's lined with metal. Is that metal or wood? That's a big discussion. However, here, Tosfos says the Torah goes out of its way to always call it a Kli Eitz. So regardless of the issue about lining something with metal, here it's certainly considered a wooden utensil. If a wooden utensil was never moved, it wouldn't be Makabel Tumah. So why would the Torah have to go out of its way and call it something that's tar? The answer is, it must be, it was moved. That must be the answer. It was moved. Ella malame shemak b'inos ole regel. They would pick it up to the ole regel. V'omrim, and they would, the omer lahem, ru'u chibatzchem lefnei ha'makom. Look at the greatness of Hashem. They would take this shulchan, to big machlokas, where would they, how far would they take it? Because even if they take it right outside the Kodesh, very few people are going to be able to see it. Because you have the whole distance of the Eretz Kahanim. So the question, where would they take it? But let's assume that people were able to see it. Look what they would say. Shesilku kisidro. It's piping hot, even though this bread's been sitting there for 11 days, 9 days, whatever it is. Still piping hot. That's a big nes. Shenemar, l'shom lechem chachom, bayom hilkachu. Right? That same pasuk in Shmuel, that you see that people, that the bread was hot, even when it was still on there, even though it was there the whole week. So the Ritva says, you know what they saw? They saw the smoke coming out of it. That's what they saw. They saw the steam coming out of the shulchan. Maybe they couldn't see the whole thing from very far away, that little opening in the door, but they could still see the steam rising. So they're able to see the nace. So therefore, what do you see? That it wasn't an inner nace. It was an outer nace. Why was it an outer nace? Everyone saw it. Even, it's not even on the list in Avos anyway. So the Gemara says, V'su leka, that's it. V'amar Ravoshia v'shosh shabon Shlomo Beis HaMikdash. At the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Natabo kol minei megadim, he planted all types of fruits. And we're not talking about normal human planting. We're talking about gold. Shel zahav, of gold. And they would yield fruits whenever it was normal for them to yield fruits, apples, grapes, whatever it was, made out of gold. And when the wind would blow, they would fall off onto the ground. And there's a Gemara that the Kohanim would become rich from this, they would sell this fruit. When there's a rustling, when there's wind, the fruit will come off. It can't, but as Hasemis points out, this cannot be normal fruit, because it's us that plant trees on the Har HaBayis. And when you see the Har HaBayis, it's full of trees that didn't exist in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. That's an Aveira. So it couldn't have been, what? I don't know, what's the symbolism behind this?
What's their symbolism? Where are all the trees coming from now all of a sudden? You think that they wouldn't be able to grow there
with flowers? And it's a mountain. There's trees on every mountain. They didn't have any. It says there's a pasuk there. There's an issue to have any trees. Ukeshenichnasu nachrum lehechal. And when the goyim came into the Beis Hamikdash to the hechal to destroy it, yavesh dried up. Shenemar uparach levonon umlol. And the fruit, the blossomings of levonon, with reference to the Beis Hamikdash, are going to dry up. They will return. Shenemar, Peruach Tifrach, Vitabel Af Gilas Viranein, Kavod Lehalvono Nitan Lo. Fine. So the Kasha, another nace. So the Gemara answers, no, Nisi Dikvi Lo Kachashiv. We're not talking about a nace that existed 24/7. We're not talking about a Kavua nace that was always present 24/7. What we're talking about is nacing that were recurring, but weren't always. Like a woman never miscarried. There was a woman there all 24/7. Whenever a woman would go that was pregnant, she never miscarried. I'm talking about those kinds of nizam, not something that was there 24/7. So the Gemara says, Hasha de Atas Lahachi, now that we had that answer, Arunu Kruvim na minisa de Kviyaninu. The Arun and the Kruvim, not taking up any space, that was a 24/7 nes. That's another reason why that's not counted. Fine. Amar Mar, so we said before, the Ashan HaMaracha, that the smoke of the Maracha never went out. And the fire never went out, the smoke never dispersed. So the Gemara says, "Umi havi ashan b'maracha." Was there such an ashan? Was there such a thing? For Tanya, chamisha devarim nemru be'esh al maracha. There are five things said by the esh al maracha, by this fire. One, revut zekari, it had the appearance of a crouching lion. V'barakachama, it was as clear as the sun, this fire. V'yesh b'mamash, it had mamash, meaning it wasn't just fire, it had some substance to it, whatever that means. V'ocheles lachin b'yevashin, it would burn liquid just like it would burn solids. V'einan ma'ala ashan, and it didn't disperse, and it didn't have any smoke. So we just said there was smoke. So the Gemara answers, no, ki kamrin on the hedyot. We're talking about the smoke that was lit by the hedyot, by the regular kahanim. Why? The Tanya, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha'kohen eish al mizbeach. That's a pasuk there in Vayikra. Af al pi she'eish yoredes min hashemayim. Even though a fire descended from heaven, and that fire was always there, nevertheless, mitzvah l'haviyim in a hedyot. It was still a mitzvah to light your own fire. So the own fire had smoke. The fire from Hashem didn't have any smoke.
Why didn't include that as
a what?
The fire now.
Because now we're going to see in a minute. That might not have been by the second discussion. That's a good question. Anyway, revut zekari. It was shaped like a lion. For Tanya, Amr of Chanina Sigana Kahanim, Ani Reisiha Revuza Kekelev. I saw it and it was shaped like a dog. So Gemara answers, you know what? Lo Kasha. Kam Mikdash Rishon, Kam Mikdash Sheni. One's the first and one's the second. Why would the first be shaped like a lion? Because a lion, the first base of Mikdash was built by Shlomo, who is from Sheva Yehuda, and Yehuda is compared to a lion. The second base of Mikdash was built by who? By Koresh, who was from Persia, and there's a pasuk somewhere that says that the Persians are compared to are like a dog. That pasuk might be said in a positive way. Some aspects of a dog that are positive, but since it was built by them, that so to speak imprint remained, and it had the fire had the appearance of a dog. That's what the Marsha says. So Gemara says, "Mikdash Sheni, mi hava? Did that exist even in the Mikdash Sheni?" The Amar or Shmuel bar Inya, my dechsev. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "The Eretzibo va'achabed"? This is talking about the rebuilding of the second base of Mikdash, and it says, "The Eretzibo, I will be appeased by it, by the new base of Mikdash, va'achabed, and I will have honor from it." Right, but that word va'achabed is funny because it's va'karinan achabda. We add the hay. The hay should be there. So, my shna de machaser hay. Why is the hay missing from the word? Because that alludes to elu chamisha devarim shahaya bein mikdash rishon lemikdash sheni. Those are the five things that were absent in the second base hamikdash that existed in the first. What are those five things? The Elohain. Aron kaparos ukuvim is one. That's counted as one. It's basically the aron. Eish, the second one is the fire. That's the question, the fire. Third, shchina. Fourth, ruach hakodesh. And the fifth, urim v'tumim. Okay, those are the five. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Amri in mihavi hava, it was there, but siyu alo messiah, it didn't help. Meaning at the first base on Mikdash, the fire actually helped the other fires, in the second it didn't. So that's counted as it wasn't really there. So it was there, but it didn't have the power that it had in the first base on Mikdash. Okay? So regarding these five, first of all, what do you mean the Shekhinah wasn't there? Don't we know that we have this midrashim that the Shekhinah never left the place of the Kosel Maravi, and we daven Hamachazir Shekhinah Salatzion? So, what do you mean? It was there or wasn't there? So the answer is all Madregas. Madregas of Shekhinah. Shekhinah never left, but the full Shekhinah, whatever that means, the full Hashpah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was not present in the second base of Mikdash. Regarding the Urim V'Tumim, so first of all, there are other things that were not present that are left off this list. Like the Rambam says, in the beginning of, in the fourth parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he says, Evan Haisa B'Mikdash, Evan Haisa B'Kodesh Kedash, B'Maracho, V'Aleha Aron Munach L'Fanav, Munach, the Aron was on that stone, which we spoke about on Shabbos, we'll get to it later in the Masechta, U'L'Fanav, and in there was Tzinsanas Haman, a jar of the Mun, Mata Aharon, the Steach of Aharon. Gemara doesn't mention these. U'B'Shah, listen to this, U'B'Shah Shebona Shlomo is Abayas, when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, V'Yada Shesofa L'Charev, he knew it was going to be destroyed. How he knew, I don't know. Maybe from last week's parsha that they cried on Tisha B'Av, and he knew there was going to be more crying. I don't know how he knew. Anyway, Bana Makom Lignas Boha Aron. He built a chamber to hide it. Lamate Bimatmonios Amukos, in the hidden tunnels underneath. The Akluklos and all these twisting tunnels. The Yosho HaMelech Siva V'Ganza B'Makom Shavana Shlomo. And Yosho HaMelech already, during the first Beis HaMikdash, he already hid the Aron, and it's been hidden ever since. Shinemar v'yomal alavim ha-mevinim b'nei Yisrael ha-kadosh al-Hashem t'nu es ha-Aron ha-kodesh b'yis asher bon ha-shlomo melech David. Fine. Then he says, v'nignazim ha-mata Aron v'shemen ha-mishcha. Another one that's missing. Shemen ha-mishcha. V'chol elu lo chazim b'yis sheni. None of these came back in the b'yis sheni. V'af urim v'tum shayu b'yis sheni lo hiyo mashiv b'ruch ha-kodesh v'lo hiyo l'shalom behen. Also the urim v'tumim. So the Ravid says, he argues of this. This is related here to Rashi and Tosfos. He says, "Omer Avram, v'alo Urim v'Tumim v'ruach hakodesh shnei devarim heim min ha'chamisha shechasim b'bayis sheni." These are two of the five that were missing. But ul devarav eino ela echad. It's only one thing. V'chisim begadim sh'omer eino klum she'eino mechesh min ha'begadim. The question is the Urim v'Tumim part of the eight begadim? So we would always say no. What was it? It was a piece of paper that had Hashem's name on it and it had certain kind of powers when it was in the choshen, but it itself was not. In itself was not a one of the begadim. So the whole machlokas is, was it missing or just it didn't work? That's what the Rambam and the Ravid are arguing on. That's the whole machlokas. So what about the other things that were mentioned here, the jar of Mon, the Shemana Mishcha? So the answer is, I think the Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz gives the answer. He says that there's no toelas in them. They didn't serve any function. It was just there. Okay, it's very nice to have a Shemana Mishcha. You can get along without it. You can get along without the Mon. You can get along without the stick of iron. It wasn't vital to anything that went on. You can't get along without the Aron. So with the Aron, he answers that as long as it was in the same makom, it was just under the ground, it's whatever function the Aron did, which is, we don't know what that function is anyway, whatever function it did perform, it could perform the same thing even underground, which leads to the issue that it wasn't removed from there.
And he said the Aron might have been in a different place, buried in a different
Maybe later. But at the time that Yoshio buried it, it must be that it was under the same spot. And whatever function it performed, it was able to perform. Okay, we got to finish the parak. Okay. Now, Tanur Rabbanan. Shisha Eshotei, and there are six kinds of fires. Yesh Ochel is Ve'ena Shoteh. There's a fire that eats but doesn't drink. Ve'yesh Shoteh Ve'ena Ochel. There's a fire that drinks but doesn't eat. Ve'yesh Ochel Ve'shoteh. There's a fire that does both. Ve'yesh Ochel is Lachin Ki Yevashin. There's a fire that eats Lachin moist, just like as quick as it will do dry. Ve'yesh Eish Doche Eish. There's a fire that fights off another fire. Ve'yesh Eish Ochel is Eish. There's a fire that consumes fire. So, yesh, eish, ocheles, ve'ena shoseh, fire that can only burn solids and not liquids, that's hadidon, that's normal fire that we know. We know fire doesn't consume liquids, it goes out. That's what we know. Ve'yesh, ve'shoseh, ve'ena ocheles, what kind of fire drinks but doesn't eat? That the Gemara says, dechul, decholim. That's the fire of a sick person. When someone has a fever, they usually need to drink, but they don't need to eat. That's what it means, that's what Rashi says. Right. Ocheles v'shoset, what's both? It does both? That's the Eliyahu. The fire when Eliyahu came down, that's that fire. Dixir b'samayim, asher, betala, l'chacha, ocheles, v'chalachacha. It licked up the water as well. When Eliyahu had that fire on the Har Carmel, ocheles lachan ki yivashin, the one that has both, d'maracha. That's the fire of the maracha on the Mizbeach. Yesh, eish, doche, eish, what's fire that can repel fire? That's the Gavriel, Bachanani, Mishol, Vazaria, because the pasuk there says that everybody that was involved, everybody on the outside got burnt. Those on the inside, Bachanani, Mishol, Vazaria, they were spared. And Vyesh, eish, ochel, eish, what's that? The Shechina, that's the fire of the Shechina, the Amar Mar, Hoshet, Etzbo, Benayim, Betzarfon. Angels complained to Hashem, why are you making man? There's no point in making man, it's just going to be sinners. Hashem burnt them. So it's fire within fire. Fine. Now the Gemara says, "V'ashem aracha afilu kol ruchas shavolam ein mezizin also mimkomo." It never moved. V'amar ma, v'amar v'yitzchak v'arvdimi. But matzi yontif achmon shalchag on matzi yontif achmon shalchag. When's that? Matzi shmini atzeres, right? Matzi shmini atzeres. Hakol sopin la'ashen hamaracha. Everybody would look at the smoke of the fire. Rashi says because shemi etzmol, because yesterday the world was judged on water. So this is the makar of having judgment on Hoshana Rabbah. Yesterday, on Hoshana Rabbah, the world was judged on water. On Hoshana Rabbah? Right? This is the Makar, that Hoshana Rabbah is a special day. It's not in the Gemara, that Hoshana Rabbah is some kind of special day. Anyway, everybody would look at this fire. Right? Note the klapei tzafon, if it would blow toward the north, meaning it's coming from the south, then Anim Smeichu Balabatim Atavim. The Anim would be happy, the Balabatim would be very upset. Why? Because that means there's going to be a lot of wind, a lot of rain, a lot of rain, which means it's going to be an overabundance of fruit, the crops are going to start to spoil, and the prices are going to go down. Mipnei Geshamim, Shana Merubin, right? Because the rain's going to be a lot, if they were Sehen, Mark Kivin, and the fruit's going to rot. Not the Klapei Dor, if it would be the other direction, then the exact opposite, Aniyim Atsevim, Balabatim Smechim. Then they would be sad, and the Balabatim would be happy, because it was going to be a bad crop, and they could jack up the prices. Mipnei Shigash, Mushana, Muatin, Ve'er Sehen, Mishtamrin. Fine. Not the Klapei Mizrach, if it would be to the east, Hakol Smechim, because it would be a perfect balance. Klapei Mayer, Hakol Atsavim. If it would be to the south, everybody would be upset, because it means it was going to be bad for everybody. The Azul Va'asi, so that's the Kasha. What do you mean the smoke never moved? And here you see it moved. So the Gemara answers, the Azul Va'asi Kedikli Va'aburi Lo Havi Mivra. Yes, it would move a little bit, but it wouldn't disperse. It would move in a direction, but it would stay as a unit. Mashachachma said, that's the Jewish people. They're dispersed throughout the world, but they're not dispersed. They're like the Ashan. They move a little bit, they move back and forth, but they're not dispersed. Amar Mar, Klapei Mizrach HaKol Smechin Klapei Mar HaKol Atzavim. Is that true? Verminhu Mizrachis laolam yafa ma'aravis laolam Mizrachis laolam yafa. The east is always good, ma'aravis laolam kasha. The west is always bad. Ruach tzafon is yafa lechitin. Ruach tzafon is good for wheat. B'shasha hevi u'shlish. As long as they're a third ripe. V'kasha l'zaisim. It's bad for olive. B'zman shehein chontin. And when they're ripening. And ruach dromis kasha lechitin. The south is bad for wheat. B'shasha hevi u'shlish. When they have a third. V'yafa l'zaisim. And it's good for olives. B'zman shehein chontin. When they're ripening. V'amr of Yosef v'item b'mar zutra v'tzimonach shulchan b'tzafon u'menorah b'darom. The shulchan, which is wheat, because of bread, that was in the northern part of the Heichal. Umenorah, which is olive oil, was in the southern part of the Heichal. That's how you can remember which one's good for which. The Haimar Badidei, the Haimar Badidei. Right? Each one's good for its own thing. That's a simon to remember. So what do you mean that one Braisa said, this is good. The other Braisa says the other thing is good. So the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, Halon v'Halahu. No, it depends where you are. If you're in Bavel, which had an abundance of rain, then the second Braisa is right. But the first brisa was Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, where it didn't rain so much, so the rain was affected in different ways.